providing Coleman with a unique blend of music from the People's Bank of Alabama studio. You're listening to Live 95, Coleman's independent radio. WRJMLP Coleman.
And it's 4 o'clock on Thursday afternoon in Coleman, which can only mean a couple of things. One, we're only 2 hours away from finding out who will start at quarterback for the Auburn Tigers. And two, Nick Saban is probably still downplaying the importance of Saturday's game at College Station. And it's time for Sports Talk Live on Coleman's Live 95. Here's your host, Jason Spiegel and Ronnie Barnes.
Thanks, Tommy.
Thank you, Tommy.
Hey, great day to be alive.
Oh, talking about beautiful day right here on a Thursday afternoon.
Warm, the sun out. Heaven on Tigers playing tonight.
It's heaven on earth.
It is
for now.
Yeah, right now. We'll see.
Hey, guys, but before you get too in-depth, I've got a question. I was having lunch today, and I heard a story of an old Vine Lot basketball coach. Not that he's old, but the story was
It's a lie.
It had something to do with him getting aggravated at officials and either sitting down in the middle of the court or scooting himself across the court on his backside. I just thought you might want to elaborate on that a little bit.
I'm like old Colonel Klink on Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. unfortunately, Tommy, that is probably true. But
yes,
I don't know about that one, but I do know one night I was watching Vine Lot, and at that time I didn't know Ronnie as well as I do now, or I would have really given him a hard time. But
wish it was still like it was too, don't you?
He went to he had got mad about something, it's official or something, and went to flop down over there on the bleacher. And the bleacher broke or something down between the bleachers he went.
Yeah, Brandon Payne, who was my assistant at that time, and then Jason Gingrich, who we called Jay Bird, was sitting right beside him. And, of course, it made me furious. And I look over, and they both got towels over their mouths. And I know exactly what they're doing. Their faces are red. You know, they're just laughing up a storm. It was funny, I mean, after it was over. But it wasn't funny at the time when you're still trying to crawl out from under the bleacher like a two-year-old.
What we got on tap on the local level, we're going to let's make this announcement. Today's show will be a little different since it should be a national holiday, Auburn playing in the week.
Well, I hadn't thought about that.
I think it should be. Okay. It's a wonder it's not.
Well, as well as they play, they should make it a national holiday. Hey, maybe if they get a W tonight, they'll make tomorrow a national holiday.
Let me ask you this, Ronnie, before I make that announcement. Yeah. Is this, and I've heard this discussed on the radio, is this the biggest game in Gus Malzahn's career? Now, think about it. This game tonight, you and I both agree, if they don't get this win, it could be an ofer.
Well, it could.
In the Southeastern Conference.
Conference-wise, it certainly could be an ofer, and we can giggle about that and laugh about it. But you look down their schedule.
Well, I look like I'm laughing about it.
Well, some people might, you know. But if you really seriously look down their schedule, it could be, if they don't beat Kentucky, it could be an ofer.
And they get a win tonight, there's a possibility.
But he's been the head coach at a national championship game.
Right, but that didn't make any difference in his job.
That's right.
This tonight could have an impact on his job.
You know, I haven't thought about that, but as silly as that sounds, he probably feels like this is the biggest game in his career.
Yeah.
Because his back is against the wall, and he's got, you know, he has had egg all over his face, and they just haven't played well. So, you know, great point.
I thought the same thing when I first heard it. I thought, you've got to be kidding. Just like you said, he's played in the national championship.
Yeah.
He was the offensive coordinator, national championship.
2010, they won it.
Yeah. This the biggest game, but then when you get to thinking about what all could be on the line for Gus Malzahn, not this year. I mean, he's going to survive this year.
No question.
If they don't win another game.
And you don't think he'll pull a Spurrier, do you?
No, I don't think. But who knows? But the once hot commodity now may be
it's pretty lukewarm now.
Right. And, boy, things change in college football.
Jason, who would have ever thought, I know we've said this many times, but who would have ever thought that before the football season ever started, that you would sit there and say this Kentucky game may be the biggest game in Gus's career at Auburn so far.
And
so it's unbelievable.
You're hearing, Ronnie, big Auburn fans such as myself now saying, you know, maybe they were wrong about Gus. Maybe he's
people are questioning him. And certainly, and
maybe this job's too big for Gus.
And you know,
no doubt he knows what he's doing.
Right.
But does he know how to implement that on a college level?
Yeah. You know,
a lot of difference.
It's to the point, is this a bump in the road, or is this the end of the road,
yeah,
you know?
Is the road washed
is
out?
Is the road washed out, that's right.
All right, we got Tally getting in here early today. Tally, welcome to Sports Talk Live.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Oh, talking a little Auburn football. What do you think about tonight?
Well, I don't know. I'm headed up to Knoxville.
You don't even know where you're going, Tally.
Yeah, I do too. I'm going to Knoxville in the county pickup. Now, what I'm trying to tell you is I'm sitting on 90. I can't listen to y'all because I've got a radio range, so I'm listening to 95.9. It's Auburn Network.
Okay. Oh.
I'm listening to these Auburn boys, these Auburn call-in whining about everything. Well, I'm listening to
Tally, we got a lot to whine about.
Well, some of them say they don't need to get rid of Gus. You know, they do need to get rid of Gus. You know how that goes. But anyway, that ain't what I called in. It's about you and the Obama bug, number 22, popping off about Steve Spurrier yesterday.
Yeah, I know you were wanting to comment on that. So what do you think about that?
Well, I'm going to tell you, I was sitting there listening to y'all, and I thought, you know, y'all's making a lot of sense about him walking out on the boys and stuff, you know. But I was down there in Columbus, South Carolina yesterday and this morning, and I had it on their talk show, their sports talk. And it's like they were saying, Steve Spurrier is like the next president, Donald Trump. He shoots from the hip, and he tells you like it is. If you don't like it, you know, you don't have to like it. He's always been that way. You know, he's always been that way.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. But tell me, what happens, though, if you're a freshman at South Carolina, Steve Spurrier has come to your house, talked to your mom and dad, hey, I'm going to be here, I'm going to take care of your kid, and then 6 months later, he quits and moves on.
That's what he's doing. That's exactly what he's doing. That's what he said. He said on that talk show, and people was calling in praising about it because he's always shot from the hip, and he's told the truth. He said he was 4-2. Am I right? Is that correct?
Yeah.
He said the program
two
is
and four.
Going down, whatever. He said the program is going downhill, and it's his fault. He said, it's my fault this program's going downhill. He said, I do not want these boys to have to go through the rest of the season without somebody else trying to come in there and get this program built back up. Somebody said, well, what if you was, you know, only lost one or two ball games? He said, well, that program would have been going the way I wanted to go. He said, the program's not going the way I wanted to go now. He said, and I'm hurting the boys.
Well, yeah, he probably is. I think he's kind of give it up. But what he is doing is no different than if you are, say, cheating on your wife. And then, you know, you kind of get caught up with and you say, well, you know, I'm no good for you anymore. I'm just not the person you need to be married to, and move out with some 18, 19-year-old woman.
Let me tell you, I got something on that, too. Number one, this ain't got nothing to do with man fooling on his wife. It's got to do with football. Number two, what is the difference?
Which number was this, Daddy?
You go into this guy, this mom and daddy, and say, hey, I'm going to want your son to come up here. I'm going to take care of him, blah, this. And then he steps down like a lot of coaches do at the end of the season.
Right.
End of the season.
Which is what he should have done. I think he should have stayed.
If he don't, somebody else can come in and build that program up and have a couple more winning games, and he says he can't do it.
Daddy, you've got me confused. Are you pro Spurrier, or do you think he's messed up here?
Well, I thought at one time, I said, well, he walked out on just like, but I was listening to you and Eddie, you know. I wasn't listening to the South Carolina people talking.
Right.
You know. And just like when Spurrier was at Florida, he popped off a bunch of stuff, and we didn't nobody like him because he felt he was doing. Spurrier's never lied. Have you ever known Spurrier just lying? He's like Nick Saban. Nobody don't like him because he shoots from the hip. Now why would he sit there and lie and tell you he's stepping down because he just took till
right,
and run?
This is just Jason's.
Spurrier, Spurrier has never took Tilden Run on nothing.
I think he has this time, Jeff.
Because
he didn't want to lose to Vandy, Tally. That was more than he could take.
Hey, you know what? I'm just telling you what I heard in South Carolina today, yesterday.
I think you could be swayed either way, Tally.
Hey, I'm just sitting there just telling you what all them sports people down there in South Carolina was telling you.
Next time you're in South Carolina, see if you can get somebody to call us. We'd like to talk to somebody from South Carolina about this.
The only ones that was mad because he left and because he don't want the program to build, you know, try to get built back up by the season. You know who it was? Clemson fans. Clemson fans wanted to stay down there. Boy, they got on them Clemson fans too, boy, about it too.
Yeah, and he would have hated the loss to Clemson too.
Yeah, which was going to happen.
Yeah. You know, the athletic director and I think the president of the university, everybody there tied to South Carolina, tried to get him to stay to the end of the year. And, you know, he just...
But is he ever listening to anybody, be honest with you? And I'll tell you else, I heard a talk this morning Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning was praising him.
Was praising him for getting out?
Yeah, by the way, he said that the only coach, as far as he knows, that's what he said, and I don't know either. He said that's the only coach, that's a player that's ever played football, made the Hall of Fame, and coached football and made the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, there's no question. He'll go down as one of the greatest that ever coached. You know, in college football, you know, and he spent most of his time in the SEC. And Jason and I talked about this the other day. He changed college football in the South when he was at Florida, because it was 3 yards in a cloud of dust, and he comes out with a fun and gun and starts throwing it all over the field. And I think it's just evolved from that to where it is now. So he has to be given tremendous credit for what he's done, you know, for college football.
That was what they was talking about. That's what they was talking about at that sports talk. They was talking about how he come in there and got these quarterbacks and started passing the ball and all that.
He did a great job at South Carolina, because he went 3 years in a row, I think 2011, 12, and 13, where they won 11 games each year, which was unheard of.
Yeah, they talked about that too, and they talked about, did he coach that? Did he coach before he went to Florida?
He was at Duke.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Yeah, talk about I think Peyton Manning was talking about the Duke job and
he won at Duke, and if you could win at Duke, you're really doing something.
Hey, ask Steve the next time you see him, Tally, how he came out in the SEC championship against Auburn.
Right, that's his fault. Hey, I set my GPS on it just in time enough where I can get this motel room this evening and watch that Auburn and Kentucky game.
That's right.
Yeah, and I don't want to see you on Facebook if Auburn gets beat on there acting like Eddie Gwynn. So.
Hey, I called Mutt today. I talked to Mutt. I was telling him we were talking about the Auburn game, and you ain't gonna believe what Mutt told me.
There's no telling.
I said, who you pulling for tonight? He goes, I'm pulling for Auburn. He said, I want Auburn to win. I said, Mutt, you never said that. He said, yeah. He said, but I've kind of got old now. Got old in my old age. I said, well, you know, I said, I'm pulling for Auburn too. And I said, I don't ever used to do that. And I said, just ain't no fun. It ain't no good.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh man, it
ain't no fun. But then I got to say this, and I'm gonna let you go. But did you see Facebook the other day talking about this? Ain't got nothing to do with football, but talking about I'm fixing to have to go deliver a building.
No, I didn't see that. I missed that one.
Oh my goodness, Jason! Hey, over $1 million building. Well, I don't need to say how much it costs, but anyway,
too late.
But they're getting another thing. This person's building another thing, but the salesman was telling me up there in Tennessee that they said we got to go to take a horse bar to Miranda Lambert. You know.
Oh, tough job there. Ask her how Blake's doing when you see
him. Hey, the building was going to Oklahoma, but now it's been transferred down to here in Tennessee. Yeah, it's
Tell me again, remind me again, who you drive for?
I drive for Borton Buildings. People need to realize how good them buildings are, you know?
Yeah, I've looked at those. I'm thinking about building a shop at some point, and I'm going to give that serious consideration.
Hey, I'm going to tell you now, Jason, I'm not just saying because I'm on the radio talking about my company, but you study it. You study it, and then you come down and talk to that salesman and see if he don't persuade you into...
Oh yeah, they've got some fine looking buildings.
Tally, have Kevin Lawrence in the radio station to check for $100, please.
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Hey, y'all. How do you know Kevin Lawrence?
Long story, Tally. You don't know which Tommy you're talking to here, then, do you? You used to deliver buildings for me back in the day.
Oh, did? Oh, really?
Is that
where it's at? Okay. Well, I didn't know who you were. I didn't know who you were. Robert Dern. Hey, but they are good buildings, ain't they?
Yeah, they are.
All right, yeah. Tyler, we can't do no more advertising unless they want to pay.
All right, Bill, buddy. Hey, welcome back. Thanks.
All right, have a good one, Tyler.
Hey, Kevin's at the shop today, matter of fact.
In one of those good buildings.
They sponsored Live 95 last year. This year, we can't get the time of day from them. So.
Well, keep going, you know.
Yeah. Put them on us, Tally. We'll get them on.
Hey, I'll do it, buddy.
Thanks,
I'll do
Tally.
It.
Thanks, Tally. See you, buddy.
All right, buddy. All right.
There's one of a kind now, working on a full house.
And I'm still confused. Did you support Steve Spurrier?
I don't know. I was hoping you could tell me. Tommy, do you know?
No, I don't know. I just, you know, the whole thing takes me back to 1998 when the little leprechaun walked out at Auburn.
Yeah.
kind of the same situation.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, we could beat that dead horse, but we all know if the wins and losses were reversed right now, he would not be even considering retiring.
If he was even Steven right now.
That's right.
He would still be with
him. That's right. So,
I mean, like you said, you're not taking away. Nobody's taking away from what he's done.
Absolutely not.
It's just a bad decision.
It's just not the way to go out. You know. So what if you end the last year and you only win two games? You stuck it out.
Yeah.
You know. You went with the. You had the good and the great, and now you're having a taste of the bad. But you know, that's just the way. That's just football. That's just athletics.
That would be forgotten, but...
Oh, sure.
And I've heard people say this will be forgotten, but I don't think it will. I think this will always be tagged to him that he quit his last year. It may not be his last year. We'll see.
Absolutely. You got it.
All right. The music's playing means it's time for a break. When we come back, Chris Andrews, Reno, Nevada. He'll be picking games, so get your pencil and your paper and get ready to, for entertainment purposes only, make a few coins. Sports Talk Live 95.5 on a beautiful Thursday afternoon. Stay with us.
Mirror Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main Avenue in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
Attention Coleman business owners. You are the people we want to hear from. All of us here at Live 95 want to take a moment to remind you of what life was like before Live 95. Yeah, so we don't want to go back to that. This is just a friendly reminder that Live 95 can help you. If you're a new business just getting started, or a well-established large business, Live 95 can actually help you get tax breaks on your tax bill. Hey, we're not kidding. Seriously. Send us an email at studio@live95coleman.com today. Or visit our website, live95coleman.com, and click on support to find out more right now. Do it. Thanks for listening to Live 95. We're Coleman's independent radio.
Hey there, Bob Baumhauer here. Last year, the Alabama State Park celebrated our 75th anniversary, but the fun really never ends. I'm happy because this year, special events and new promotions will help us reach out to those who have yet to visit a state park. In addition to providing family fun, our parks are located in some of the most beautiful parts of Alabama. So plan your next visit today. But this year, reach out and bring a friend. For more information, call 1-800-ALAPARK or go to alapark.com.
Brought to you by Alabama State Parks, the ABA, and this station.
Are you ready to take your music to the next level? Need to know how to kickstart your music career? How to get your music published and licensed? And the million-dollar question, how to get your music played on the radio? Baker Productions has the answer to these and many more questions you may have about the music industry. From demos to full production, they have the tools to get your music to the masses. From audio and video studios to copyrights, publishing, and mastering, MP3s to downloads from your website, YouTube, or Facebook page, they have the tools and experience to help get your music on track. See where your music career can lead at Baker Productions, 256-739-0388.
Oh, yeah.
Name that tune.
I know it, but I can't name it.
Tommy's got to tape it both.
That's Aerosmith.
Aerosmith.
Walk This Way.
Yes,
oh, my goodness.
Walk This Way. Walk This Way.
I hate I didn't. Couldn't remember that. That's
pitiful. I wouldn't have got it. 421, this time each week, we bring in one of our favorite segments of the week. And
our buddy from Reno.
Brighton's our day, and we're going to get him down here for some barbecue sometime.
That's right.
Chris, welcome back to Sports Talk Live.
Thanks a lot, fellas. By the way, I'm in Vegas today. So
Vegas.
I landed at the airport, and I talked to you guys before I go get the rental car and all that other stuff.
Oh, man.
Hey, don't let us hold you up. Now, if you need to cut out, let us know, and we'll let you be on your way.
Oh, I'm fine. Don't worry, guys. You guys take priority. Don't worry about it.
You better watch Las Vegas.
A little in a while.
I knew exactly what Jason was starting to say. I'd already thought it, so I'm going to let him finish it, buddy.
No, I'm going to leave it short and sweet with you. Better watch Las Vegas. I saw a 2020 special the other night.
I can't afford another divorce.
No.
Oh man.
Hey Chris, this is completely off. Not completely off subject, but 99% off subject. But did you happen to see the 2020 special talking about the Olympic runner and her being a high-priced call girl in Vegas? What was her name?
Yes, I did, as a matter of fact. Yes.
Is that not one of the most unbelieving stories you've ever heard? What was her name again?
It was, yeah. You know, I can't remember her name, but, you know, she was a good-looking girl and looked like a smart girl.
Yeah.
Obviously, she had some psychological baggage somewhere along the line.
she's a nut, as Barney would say.
Yeah.
And I guess, right. I don't know how you feel about it, but one of the most shocking things to me was the fact that her husband knew what was going on and just kind of let it go.
Yeah, well, I'd say he's much more liberal-minded than I am.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think I would do that.
Maybe he was getting the cash.
Boy, it would take a lot of cash, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
All right, Chris.
I don't know if they print that much, so I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, first, we've talked about it several times here. Give us your thoughts on the big news out of South Carolina that Steve Spurrier suddenly resigning, says he's not retiring, he's resigning. So what do you think about that? Did he quit on his team?
I was a little bit shocked, probably like everybody else, you know, but then when you start looking at it, I mean, that's a very Spurrier move, isn't it? You know,
yeah, absolutely.
Do that right in the middle. Yeah, he decided Monday morning, and by whatever it was, Tuesday, it was all over. And, I don't know. I think I've always, for some reason, kind of liked Spurrier. And people ask me to explain that, and I don't know that I can. But he's certainly his own man, marches to the beat of his own drum. And he felt it was time, and it happened quickly. And you can't help but think a little bit that, yeah, he did kind of quit on this team. They were struggling, and he didn't want to see it through all to the end. I mean, he says he wasn't the right guy for the job. And, you know, if you don't think you're the right guy for the job, then you're not the right guy for the job.
That's right.
So in that sense, I guess I have some compassion for them, but I feel for those kids too. They're kind of left high and dry in the middle of the season.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who just off the top of your head, do you think we might look for as might be his replacement in South Carolina?
Well, you know, I don't know what their financial package has. I imagine that they've built that the coffers pretty good, I would think, but I don't know. I think they're going to make a strong move for Mark D'Antonio at Michigan State. He's a South Carolina grad. You know, Michigan State's a good Big Ten job, but it's not the best. You know, they don't pay what some of the other big ones do. And if you have a chance to go back home.
Uh-oh, I think Chris went back home.
Chris left the building.
Yeah.
Hey, Tommy, we lost him.
All right.
For whatever reason.
Wow, it sounded like a Martian game or something.
Yeah, maybe. Is he over at five? Is he at five, Alabama? He's at five. Hey,
while we're talking about Vegas and...
five.
I can't think of the girl's name that we're talking about, the Olympic runner, but what about Lamar Odom?
Oh, man, is that not
being
sad?
Being found at... what is it? Love Ranch? Or
yeah, some
something.
Brothel in Vegas, and wasn't it Vegas? I believe.
Yeah, outside Vegas.
That's terrible.
I didn't. Maybe I live in a shell here in Alabama.
I didn't,
but I didn't realize
I didn't
that
know
was
that.
Legal.
I didn't either.
So I knew they had them, but I didn't know it was legal.
I didn't either. I didn't have a clue.
A legal brothel.
Yeah, I don't know.
And
I don't
for
know.
For anybody that don't know what a brothel is, it is a, for lack of terms, a house of ill repute.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, it, from what I've heard and just read like everybody else, it does not sound good at all, you know, for him to make it. And
if
he
does, it's going to be bad.
You know, he may never know he's alive or know his name again.
All right, I think we've got Chris back on. Chris, sorry about that. Don't know what happened, but glad you're back.
Okay, well, I'm going to blame you guys.
Absolutely.
So, you know. I actually took up a Coke and started to get a drink, and as soon as I did, you went out. So.
Oh, okay, so I'm going to blame it on Coke.
That's
fine. Anyway, I was saying, I think that, you know, Michigan State, it's a good job. It's not a great job. And I think, you know, all of a sudden that the Big Ten is going to be pretty competitive. He's got Harbaugh he's going to have to recruit against. He's got Urban Meyer, of course, at Ohio State. He got James Franklin over at Penn State. It's not going to be easy for him. And, you know, it might be a good chance for him to come home. So I think they make a big play. When he does, I can't answer. But I think they make a big play for him myself.
Right. I've never thought of that name. That name is not coming to my head. But I think that would be a great hire for South Carolina if they can pull it off. On the West Coast, out toward your... as we say here in the South, your neck of the woods. Steve Sarkisian fired this week at Southern Cal. What's your thoughts on that, and who we might look at as a replacement there in Southern Cal?
Well, you know, I write for, besides my own website, I write for linemakers.com, which is a subsidiary of Sporting News. And I wrote two articles before the season knocking Sarkisian. I didn't make it personal because I don't know the man, and I didn't know about all his demons. But I knocked his coaching. I just thought he was not a good coach.
Right.
He did not do well at Washington, and I thought he could have done much better. You know, as far as who the replacement is, the one name, well, everybody's talking about Chip Kelly, which I could see that. I mean, I guess we have to see how things play out at Philly. But I've heard you're talking about Brian Kelly, too, at Notre Dame. You know, Notre Dame's a tough job. I mean, the pressure from the alumni up there is probably unsurpassed anywhere else in the world. And so he's been there like 7-8 years, I guess. That's going to take a lot of strain on you. And I've heard his name bandied about, and I could see where that might be a possibility. The other one that I was kind of surprised to hear was Jim Mora, who's over at UCLA and doing a really good job at UCLA, but feels that he loses out on a lot of recruits to USC right across the street there. So I heard that they might make a play for Jim Mora. I think that's all possible. But other than that, I'd just be speculating. I really don't know.
Right.
Hey, Chris, let's change and talk a little bit about Auburn. They've got a huge game. Jason and I talked about this before we ever came on the air, that when would we ever think that this particular game would be possibly the biggest game in Gus Malzahn's career at Auburn to this point. But, it, you know, we thought it, you know, laughingly, we thought it could possibly be. I think they are about a two-point favorite. I'm not sure. You can correct me if I'm wrong. But I guess my question is, what does that tell you about Auburn's football team that they are a two-point favorite against Kentucky?
Well, I had a Kentucky Raider text me this morning. I'd made Auburn 11.5 in the preseason when I put out my numbers. And he said, well, what's that say? Auburn's dropped 9.5 points. And I thought, yeah, that's about what they've dropped.
Right.
I hate to say. And not only did they drop 9.5 points, I hate to say, fellas, but I'm on Kentucky tonight. I took the +2.
Kidding me, Chris.
Yeah, I
don't blame you.
There goes my ribs. But, you know, it's a big game for Malzahn, but it's a big game for Mark Stoops, too, because I think he's really tried to do a lot of good things at Kentucky, and I think he's kind of on the doorstep of doing that. He's not there yet, but beating a team like Auburn on a national TV venue on a night like this, I think would be a huge feather in his cap. And for the program, I think it's a much bigger game for Kentucky. I know what you're saying about Malzahn, but I think with the crowd and the Kentucky fans and all that, I think it has to be a bigger game for them. And I think it's a bigger game for them in a very positive sense. It's a bigger game for Malzahn in a very negative sense. And I think I got to go with Kentucky in this one. I am going with Kentucky. I took the +2.
Right. Chris, I can't say that I blame you. I did put a small bet in on Auburn just because I've not bet on Auburn in a long time, for entertainment purposes only, in a long time. Auburn, correct me if I'm wrong, they went on a 14-game streak where they covered, and now they're on a 9-game streak where they haven't covered. So I think you're a safe bet there, sir.
Yeah, you know, I don't have that figure right in front of me, but that sounds about right. Yeah, they are on a horrible streak right now. They had a tremendous one before that.
Right.
Hey, Chris, let's move over on the other side of the state, Alabama, to the Crimson and White. Alabama, as everybody knows, they've got a huge game against Texas A&M on Saturday. That may go a long way in determining, you know, possibly who's going to be the West representative in the SEC championship. I think Bama's about a 4.5 point favorite. Give us your thoughts. What you think we're going to see on Saturday between these two teams?
Well, 4 is a pretty solid number right now. I see 1.5. I see 4.5. Well, I ticked off your partner. I might as well tick off you now.
Yeah, come on, Chris. Now you
appreciate it. And I wouldn't blame you either.
Well, I took A&M +4. I think, I'll tell you right now, and honestly, that I'm not lying here. I still voted Bama number one in that one poll that I participated in. But I think A&M's a little bit underrated. I think their offense is really good. This is suddenly, I don't know about suddenly, but ever since the days of Johnny Football when they upset Bama a couple of years ago, this has become a huge game for A&M. That's a big game for Bama, too, of course. But I think Bama's used to that every single week. They're going to get everybody's best. Where A&M,
right.
I think the focus is greatly on this one game. And I think their offense is enough to keep them in this. I think the defensive numbers, when you go through them, certainly favor Alabama, no question about that. But I think just the situation and I think A&M is going to score enough to keep themselves in this game, and I think taking the 4 is the right move. I couldn't lay it, and I really kind of wanted to play this game. So I played A&M. I took the +4.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Chris, let me just make a statement, and you tell me whether you agree with it or not. You've seen both of them play. I think for Alabama to be successful and have a chance to win this game, they need to be really good on first and second down. If they get in third down in long situations, I think it's going to be a long day for Alabama. What about you?
I think that's a really good point. Yeah, I think that is something to take the pressure off the quarterback a little bit and put a little bit more pressure on A&M's defense. You know, A&M does not have a great defense. It's fair, but that's
right.
As far as I go. Now, if you're in that third and long, I mean, any defense is going to be fairly good, you know, especially you're talking like SEC talent. You know, Sumlin's recruited a bunch of pretty good athletes over there. So I think, yeah, third and long, yeah, that's going to give trouble to any quarterback. But if he's getting first downs on first down or second down,
right,
that's going to make it a whole different ball game and really kind of maybe tilt the field a little bit in Bama's favor.
Yeah, I think if Bama can successfully run the football, I think they win the ball game. And that's not earth-shattering. That's the case for most people, you know.
Yeah. Listen, they can win by three, and we all go home.
There you go. Absolutely. Hey, Chris, what do you think, going back to Spurrier, what do you think him resigning may do to the line as far as, the Vandy game?
I was moved at about 3 points towards Vandy's favor. I know Vandy's kind of, they've gotten a little better. Well, certainly since last year, they were a dumpster fire. This year, they're a little bit better. And they've looked like they're improving during the course here. I think they were kind of ready for a win. But, I've seen this thing go both ways when, it's hard to say a coach resigning like Spurrier did. I don't remember that happening too often. But, maybe a big injury or a coach gets fired, that sort of thing.
Right.
Sometimes it galvanizes a team, and sometimes it splits them apart. To tell you the truth, I don't think Spurrier's heart was really in it this year. And I think him not being on the sidelines might be a positive. I hate to say that because the guy's a Hall of Fame coach, but
yeah,
I think that might be true. I'm more inclined to bet South Carolina now. It really was not a game that I was looking at. But now that it's moved so much, I think they come up with a big effort at home and win this one myself.
I agree with you, Chris. That's one we're going to agree on. I was liking South Carolina a little, but then once this happened, I'm thinking everybody, as you said, rallies around just the team there, and I think South Carolina gets a win here, and I don't know how that's going to look on the ego of Steve Spurrier if South Carolina pulls off a big win.
Can I tell you something, Jason?
Yes,
don't worry about Steve Spurrier's ego. I think it's just fine.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Hey, few games want to throw out and get your thoughts on. If any of these you don't want to put a pick out on the air, that's fine too. Just let us know. But real quick, we'll go through them. LSU and Florida. I'm not sure where the line's sitting now, but what do you think?
Well, that's come down. A lot of wise guys today come in on Florida, and I'm one of them. I played Florida. I think that defense is really going to be strong, and I know Greer leaving is going to be, certainly hard to replace, but I think Harris for Florida has done a decent job when he's been called on to play. I think it's certainly a step down. But I think Florida's defense is really good, and listen, I love Burnett, but I think LSU might be a little bit overrated. They can't throw the ball. Harris for LSU, I think he's averaging 122 yards a game. And I think against a team like Florida, he's going to have to throw it a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure he's going to be able to do that. So I played Florida in that one.
Yeah, I like that one too. All right, Michigan State, and before you pick this one, would you have thought at this time of year that we would be looking at a Michigan team that's as good or appears to be as good as they are?
No.
Me either.
I told you about that thing I voted in 3 weeks ago. I didn't even have Michigan on my top 25. Now I've got them all the way up to number 7.
Yeah.
And you just looked at coming off 3 straight shutouts. I mean, they are legit. I worry a little bit about their quarterback, the kid Rudolph that transferred in from Iowa. I'm not crazy about him. I did not bet this game. I lean a little bit towards Michigan. The wise guy money came in today on Michigan State. Not that I'm going to let that scare me off, but I respect it. And I think it's going to be a tough game. And I think 7.5 is a little more than I want to lay in a game like this. Total's 41.5, 42. So that's a lot of points to lay in it with a total like that. I'm going to stay off, but I kind of like Michigan.
Okay. All right. Any plays out there? Well, one more that I want to throw out, and then I'll just ask for if you'll throw us a bone. But what about USC, Notre Dame, a game rich in tradition? Notre Dame back and forth, with the coaching deal here with Kelly now. Bad blood, I guess, going between the two. So how do you feel about this game?
Well, that's another one that went up from like 4, 4.5, and it's up to 7 now, the last I looked. Let me look here now. At 6.5 or 7, I got to tell you, that looks way too high to me. You know, Notre Dame, they've done well. They've had a lot of injuries, and it really has not taken effect yet. But I think when you see a team, you know, not any team, you know, when they start piling up these injuries, and then all of a sudden, when it finally hits, it's going to hit them hard. Yeah. And I think USC is another case. I mean, you know, okay, they fired Steve Sarkisian. The guy was drunk on the sideline. The guy was drunk at meetings. Okay, you fired a drunk coach. How much of a negative can that be, for God's sake?
Right.
You know, and the line went up like 3 points. Oh, I'm sorry. That game was not really on my radar, but it might be now. I'm almost sure it is. If I see 20-7, right now it's kind of split. I think I'm going to come in on the dog and take the 7 there. I think losing him absolutely has to be a positive. It has to be.
Yeah, good deal. Good deal.
Hey, Chris, any great plays out there that, you know, most people won't see because their, you know, teams are not well known or a traditional football power?
Well, I got one. When I got my email this morning from Jason, I had to bet my life on something. I started looking over my notes, and I'm gonna tell you guys this game, and I had to laugh when I thought about even mentioning it. You guys are gonna laugh when I do mention it. I love Temple this week, laying the big point.
Temple
is pretty good. Temple, they're laying like 22 over Central Florida. Now Temple's pretty good, and I saw them. I'm a Penn State guy. I saw them whoop Penn State first game of the season. I've been kind of watching them ever since. And like last week, I had like a full menu. My one partner, he said, "You mean we're not playing Temple against Tulane?" I said, "You know, we really should." But it was like kind of a big point. But I said, "Yeah, we're just going to lay off." But now, not only is Temple really good, I think Central Florida's kind of quit. You know, they've got problems down there with O'Leary. And, you know, I always look at teams that, and I hate to say quit because that's really a very bad thing to say about a team. But when you're running the ball for 52 yards a game, which I think is what they're running, that shows me a team that has no desire in the trenches. I mean, that's where football's still won. We talk about passing and all that stuff. But if you don't have those guys up front blocking and tackling, then that's teams that just don't have that desire anymore. And Central Florida looks like that kind of team to me. And I think they're going against a very underrated Temple team. Listen, I'm 59 years old. Temple has stunk my whole life, you know. But now, all of a sudden, they're pretty good, and it's still hard to grasp Temple laying 22 to anybody. But I think that's probably my best bet of the week is Temple. I think they trounced Central Florida this week.
Hey, I'm not going to laugh about that because I'm not sure when it was, but I got on a streak with Temple. You know, you kind of get superstitious with this stuff. And so I got to where I was on Temple every week till they bit me pretty hard one week, and then it didn't take me too long to get off the boat. So I'm with
you on
that. They
had one bad game. Was it Massachusetts, I think? I can't remember right now, but they had one game they didn't cover this year. But they've been tough. And they had like 19 starters coming back and a pretty good coach. I kind of had my eye on them. In fact, I had Temple game one against Penn State, you know, to the surprise of a lot of my buddies. But, you know, you have to be, you just have to be objective in this business. Even I was kind of rooting for Penn State, to be honest with you, once they kicked off. But my money was on Temple.
Right. Yeah, I've done that before, too. I guess you've already answered the last question then that I sent you. If you had to bet your life savings on one game this weekend, where would you put your money?
My life savings, all $10. So I'd put it on that Temple game.
All right.
So, you know.
Yeah, I thought that might be it. So. Chris, is there anything that we're missing? What games are you going to be watching this weekend with special interest, other than Temple? We know Temple
God.
Now.
I won't even watch that one, to tell you the truth. But, I mean, between A&M, A&M, Bama, LSU, Florida, Michigan, Michigan State. Now, I tell you what, we got a great one tonight, Stanford and UCLA. That's a terrific game.
Bill,
I did want to mention something, though, and I've done a little work, and I mentioned this, I think, in a tweet or in one of my articles. You know, I thought of you guys when I did it. You know, I've been tracking this since, like, 2010. But these Southern teams who are not SEC teams, and when they play SEC teams, and they're getting points, well, they're getting points in almost every one, except maybe when they play Vandy. You know, but they are almost 67% they cover. And I started thinking about it, and one of the residual effects of the SEC really being, and they are the top conference, and I mean, everybody knocks it, including me, you know, but they are unquestionably the top conference. But a lot of these kids that can't quite make it in the SEC, they're not recruited for one reason or another, they go to a lot of these other southern schools, and these teams are getting really good. I mean, look at Memphis. Memphis is good. Middle Tennessee, very good. Another bet I have this week, Louisiana Tech against Miss State. I don't know if they win the game, but I'm getting 13.5 with the team that can really put points on the board. Jeff Driscoll coming over from Florida. I think it's a real live team. I just started thinking about that. A lot of these teams have really gotten much better probably in the last decade, and part of that is the residual effects of the SEC being so good.
Okay, yeah, I agree with you. Some of these teams, like you said, you had never heard of, never paid any attention to, and all of a sudden, and we talked about it the other day, I'm not sure, it may have been after we had talked to you, but TCU, I remember Auburn playing TCU years ago, and that was a homecoming game. I mean, TCU was a team that you just walked in and beat.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah. Well, look at that Mississippi-Memphis game. I talked to a few people in Memphis. This is a huge game for them. I'll tell you, Mississippi better be ready. And by the way, I voted them number 3 in that poll. So I have a lot of respect for Mississippi. But I didn't bet on them this week because I think Memphis really wants them bad. They had a bye coming into this week. So, Mississippi better scrap it on because I'll tell you, they got a fight on their hands this week. That's going to be a good game to watch. And Memphis can really score, too.
Yeah, it's going to be an interesting weekend, great weekend for football nuts like us. Hey, Chris, you're in the airport, and I know you've got a million things you need to be doing, so we're going to let you go. But, man, we appreciate you taking time, especially taking time in the airport to join us. So, hope you have a profitable weekend. But before you go, tell everybody, as you do each week, how to find you and what they can do when they do find you.
Well, first of all, let me say, guys, and I'm not joking around, really. I mean it from the bottom of my heart. This is one of my favorite half hours of the week.
Great.
I love talking to you guys. I'm hoping to meet you guys one of these days. We got to come down.
Absolutely.
But anyway, you can find me on Twitter, at Andrews Sports, 2 S's there in the middle, at Andrews Sports. And you can go to my website, againstthenumber.com. Got a lot of free stuff we give out, and of course we have some packages. We're business; we got to have some revenue.
That's it.
So we have packages we give out with, football picks. We have our power ratings. You can get a weekly package. You get a yearly package. But a lot of free stuff too. We've been on a hell of a roll in the baseball, and we don't charge anything for that. So we've really been going good. And that's my buddy Brandon. I don't even handicap. I'm a football guy.
I hear.
But anyway, that's where you can find it. And hopefully you'll enjoy some of this stuff on the website.
A great deal.
Good deal. And I can promise you, folks, that you will, because I took a look myself. Chris, nice enough to send me out preseason information, and, man, he has got it, so be sure to look that up. Chris, get on your way, buddy, and hope you have yourself a great weekend. And like I said, be careful in Vegas. Hey, sometimes what happens in Vegas don't stay in Vegas.
Oh, I know that too, my friend. I can't tell you.
Oh, stay safe.
I am on my third wife right now.
Oh.
I can't afford one more.
Oh, man. Stay safe. Right. Stay safe, Chris. See you, bud.
Thanks, Chris.
All right.
Great guy.
Great guy.
I'm telling you.
Just got to get him down here sometime.
That's it. We're going to make it happen.
That's right.
We're going to have to hit WRJM pocketbook.
Hey, fly hit it hard.
And we'll eat some barbecue.
You got it.
4:48, we'll be back, talk a few minutes before Dr. Dan Vosta joins us. We'll be cutting today's show a little short, trying to get out of here about 5:30, 5:40 to join Coach Gus Malzahn and the Auburn Tigers tonight playing Kentucky. So we'll be right back. Stay with us. Sports Talk Live 95.5 Thursday edition.
Hey guys, let's face it. We always want to look our best, but with minimal effort, right? Well, that's where Angela at Scissor Salon comes in. She'll get you looking your best so you're always on top of your game. Scissor Salon. Walk-ins are always welcome. Scissors, 735-3089. 735-3089. That's Scissors, Highway 278 East, just past the water plant. Look for the big scissors on the roof.
Have you been to your mobile phone carrier store lately? You probably discovered the phones are overpriced and that those same great carriers, well, they're not really ready to help you absorb the cost of that phone anymore. Sounds like a great business opportunity, huh? Well, that's where the folks at Coleman Phone and Tablet have stepped up to the plate. Their business started with simple repairs of smartphones and tablet screens, but due to demand, has recently expanded to carrying a large selection of smartphones. If you're tired of your current model, hey, they'll even make you an offer on it. Next time you need a new phone, you really should check with them first. We do. They're just across from the carrier stores on Cherokee Avenue in the Best Way Shopping Center anyway. I mean, they're right there. You're in the area anyway. Why not stop in and see what they have? Hours 10 to 7, weekdays 10 to 5 on Saturday, and close 12 to 1 for lunch. Or check them out on Facebook. Coleman Phone and Tablet. What would we ever do without them?
I'm Tommy Warhurst of Premier Insurance Agency. Fancy TV commercials and jingles are nice, but they're expensive, and you shouldn't have to pay for them. If your insurance agent works for one of those big companies, then they work for the company. Who's working for you? As your independent insurance agent, my hands aren't tied to one big company. I shop America's top providers to get you the best price. A personal agent that works for you. I'm Tommy Warhurst, your independent insurance agent at Premier Insurance Agency on the corner of Graham and Main Avenue in Coleman. 297-2280. 297-2280.
That'll make the chills run up down your spine.
I'm telling you, that puts me down at Auburn right now. I'm telling you. They play that a lot on third down.
Yeah. So, well, they get in the plate a lot then, aren't they?
No, I'm talking about when the other team, they don't
I thought you meant when they had the football.
Let me run over Chris's picks, and then we're going to hit the local scene.
If you
miss these, here they are. I don't have the points, but I'm going to tell you who he is playing. He is on Kentucky tonight. Hurts my feelings, but that's just the way life is.
Sometimes that happens.
Hurts Ronnie's feelings,
that's right.
He is on Texas A&M, South Carolina, Florida, USC, Louisiana Tech, and his pick of the week, the one he said that he would put his life savings if
what
he had to.
What about that?
The Temple Owls.
I was going to ask you, do you know what their mascot is? That was going to be my question.
Minus 21, 22, somewhere in that area. So,
my goodness.
Hey. Pick you three or four of those out.
What about that?
Do a parlay and take it to the bank.
Jump on a little Temple right
there. That's it. All right, Ray, bring us up to date.
Hey, local sports is going on today, and then, of course, some tonight. We'll give you some college games that's going on other than the Auburn game. But we got volleyball going on. Corner, West Point, they're at Cold Springs. Coleman's at Curry. Appalachian is at Hanceville. Meek, Shoals Christian, they are at St. Bernard. So that is the local volleyball that is taking place today. Other sports that are going on tonight, actually this is a pretty hot Thursday night, Jason. As everybody knows, Auburn is at Kentucky on ESPN at 6 o'clock. Alabama State at Arkansas Pine Bluff on ESPNU at 7:30. And then another good one that's going to be on tonight that Chris mentioned is UCLA at Stanford. That's going to be a good football game.
And I'm going to tell Kathy ahead of time.
Yeah.
Plan on Jason being up
late tonight
watching that game.
I hear you. They play after the Auburn game, so it's scheduled for around 9:30. So,
ooh.
Are you telling me you're going to stay up and watch all of that game and then get up at your normal time and go to work?
I probably will. My head will probably nod off sometime, and I'll wake up. I'll have me a big dip, and I'll swallow a little bit of it. I'll wake up.
Oh, that's nasty, boy. Oh, man. Okay, again, UCLA at Stanford on ESPN at 9:30. Major League Baseball is still going on. The division playoffs are taking place. New York at Dodgers. That's on TBS at 7 o'clock tonight. NBA preseason, if you want to watch some of that. Houston at Golden State on TNT at 9 o'clock. And rounding it out, if you want to watch some NFL football, you can also catch that. That's the Atlanta Falcons at the New Orleans Saints on CBS at 7:30. So if you like pro football, that will be a good one to watch. The Falcons are undefeated, And I don't think, and I think the New Orleans Saints may have won one game, Jason. I'm not absolutely sure, but they're not having a very good year. While we do have a couple minutes, I'll go over the SEC schedule for Saturday. On Saturday at 11 o'clock, you have Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State. That is on the SEC network. Also at 11 o'clock, number 13, Ole Miss at Memphis. And that will be on ABC or ESPN2. So you may have to check, you know, check one of the two of those. At 2:30, the big one, in the Southeastern Conference, is number 10 Alabama at number 9 Texas A&M. That will be on CBS with Vern and Gary Daniels.
And so, stay with us and you'll get our pick on that game.
That's
later.
Exactly right, and you will want that.
That's right.
And then at 3 o'clock, Vandy at South Carolina on the ESPN network. Do not look for Steve Spurrier. He has left the building. He won't be there.
You think he'll be at the game?
No.
No, I don't think so.
He won't be there. No, he's going to be there because he's going to be at game day, which is in Michigan. At 6 o'clock Saturday night, another good one, number 8 Florida at number 6 LSU. That should be a good ball game. That is also on ESPN. And at 6:30 Saturday night, Missouri at Georgia on the SEC network. So a lot of good college football to watch this weekend starting tonight. And just a great day to sit in front of the TV all day and sit there and graze like a cow, you know.
Yeah. Is there anything better than on a Saturday like this, it being a little overcast and
cool
outside, and ball game's going to be on.
Yeah.
The weather's too bad to go outside and do anything.
That's right.
So you're stuck inside all day, get a big bowl of chili.
Oh, I know.
And
that's some...
Oh, I'm getting chill bumps thinking
about it. Hey, and the thing about it is that one big bowl of chili before the night's over, it usually turns into about 3 or 4.
Big
bowls of chili.
Yeah, that's it.
Put a little hot sauce in it.
Oh, no,
little...
leave the hot sauce off.
Oh, come on.
And what about this?
You don't put a little hot sauce on your chili?
No.
When you dip that stuff and you don't put hot sauce on
your
chili.
That's it. That's it.
There's something wrong with you.
Do you use tomato sauce or the little chunky?
I don't like tomatoes. Tomato sauce.
Oh, yeah, me too. I don't want no chunky.
I don't either. No.
No.
You got
no.
It. No.
No, that ain't going to happen.
That ain't going to happen.
All right, 4:56 and a half. So,
half point
playing. You know what that means?
That's right.
Time for a break. When we come back, Dr. Dan Vosta will be with us, and I'm sure he'll be on fire today with all the new coaching changes.
I wonder if he's still all over Georgia again.
we'll find out
after they got spanked again.
Yeah. All right, stay with us, folks. Sports Talk Live 95.5. We'll be right back with Dan Vosta.
In the ARN News Center, I'm Angie Norvell. Winston County School Superintendent Greg Pendley reacting to the arrest of a coach and teacher at Double Springs Middle School. Aaliyah officials arresting 62-year-old Ricky Lee White on child pornography charges. Pendley tells Fox 6 White was a football and basketball coach at the school as well as a technology instructor.
Coach White was liked by, I think, most everyone. He was an employee for 37 years. It's just an unfortunate incident that's happened, and it's far-reaching to our schools, obviously.
The case of a man accused of assaulting Talladega's former mayor with a baseball bat outside of Estavia Barbershop has been given to a grand jury. A hearing for Benny Green waived. He's accused of assaulting Larry Barton. The two reportedly had been friends for more than 10 years and even appeared on a weekly broadcast together. A person shot at a gun store near Trustville. Jefferson County Sheriff's Office says the victim was hit by a bullet in the backside. The injury's not life-threatening. Shooting considered accidental. I'm Angie Norvell. This is the Alabama Radio Network. Oxford police looking for a Bessemer man in connection with a pharmacy robbery. 34-year-old Marco Dane Acoff accused of robbing the Quick Meds pharmacy on Highway 78 with another man. That suspect's in custody. Investigators say Acoff may have left the state. A robbery at Coleman Savings Bank. Surveillance video shows a man wearing a dark wig carrying a money bag. Authorities say he could be a serial robber as security cameras have captured images of a robber in Homewood and Hoover that look similar to this man. A missing man who got separated from his son while on a hike in a wooded area of Marshall County has made it home. Sheriff's Department says 71-year-old Jimmy White of Albertville was located still in the woods but safe. A 6-hour search for the missing man involved personnel on the ground and in a sheriff's helicopter.
Oh,
Gary Rossington thanking Lynyrd Skynyrd fans for their support. The guitarist discharged from the hospital. He suffered a heart attack last week. Seems to be ready to tour again, posting on Facebook he'll be back before you know it. Band's next appearance set for November at the Alabama National Fair in Montgomery. I'm Angie Norvell. This is ARN. In sports, Auburn a 2-point favorite as it plays on the road tonight in Kentucky, but Coach Gus Malzahn is not going to name his starting quarterback till right before kickoff. Jeremy Johnson struggling in his three starts, benched in favor of redshirt freshman Sean White. Malzahn not ruling out using both players during tonight's game. In his weekly press conference, Nick Saban addressing the illness of freshman quarterback Blake Barnett.
I can't get into specifics of what's wrong with him, but he wasn't feeling well, decided to admit him to the hospital for some tests. They found out, you know, what the issue is. He's out.
Saban says he won't be back to practice for a couple of days. He won't play in the Texas A&M game. In high school football action tonight, Carver Birmingham plays Parker. Dothan takes on Carver Montgomery. Lee Huntsville plays Arab. Thomasville takes on Jackson. And Marengo Academy plays Wilcox Academy. And a University of Alabama archaeologist to discuss artifacts found at the site of Trussville's new football stadium. Heavy machinery excavating there 2 years ago, uncovering pits and artifacts. Angie Norvell, ARN Sports.
Broadcasting from the People's Bank of Alabama studio, from a transmitter as powerful as a hairdryer. Hey, we got it on high. This is Live 95, Coleman's Independent Radio, WRJMLP, Coleman.
All right, 5 o'clock. We're about an hour.
Sweet music away right there.
Kickoff. I'm talking about.
Yeah, it reminds me of my high school and college days.
We better not go there. I don't know, but we'll stay away from that.
Oh, I understand.
All right, it's time for.
It's time for Dan.
Dan, I thought you were giving me some kind of motion there.
I was giving you a motion that that Tommy was giving me as well.
Oh.
I won't tell you what the motion was.
Oh, was he telling us we were number one?
No. It wasn't the motion. I think we may have had a technical difficulty in that we may have lost Dan for a split second.
Okay.
Or second.
Let's see if he's on now.
He's calling.
There he is. I've got a long list of things to ask Dr. Dan.
Yeah, he's probably going to be wiping his eyes, you know, with all these tears.
Georgia has not been kind.
No, it has not. Hey, while we, Jason, while we are getting Dan lined up and everything situated, we went over the games that's going on tonight. We went over the college games, at least in the SEC, that's taking place on Saturday. But we got some local high school action tomorrow night, so I'll quickly run through those, and then we'll give our picks after we have completed our segment with Dan. So we have Coleman is at Decatur. Vinemont is at Susan Moore over there in Blount County. Hansville is at Holly Pond. So Holly Pond we're not picking them yet.
Oh, that's fitting so. Until they win again.
Yeah. Cold Springs is playing Summerton Christian, which is over in Dora. And then Fairview versus Douglas. Good Hope at DER West Point versus East Limestone.
And everybody will want to make sure to stay with us and get our picks
that
too, because I know they're going to win a lot of
money
on those. All right, it is time for the man, Dan. Dan, welcome back to Sports Talk Live. Uh-oh. Dan, are you with us?
Calling Dan.
Earth calling Dan. Come in, Dan.
He's been beamed up.
Breaker one night. You remember those CBs?
Yes,
get into any of them?
Yes, I did. My dad had one out in his truck. I remember I'd get home from school and run out there and get on the CB.
Oh, I thought I was something. I'd get on that, get me a can of Beanie Weenies. Talk on the old CB.
You hear me, guys?
Yeah, we got you now, Dan. Welcome back to Sports
Talk
Live. How are you?
I'm doing well.
Hey, tell us one thing. What is the weather like in Chicago or just outside of Chicago?
Well, it's only about mid-50s about right now.
Wow.
We're a little warmer than you right now, Dan. We're having a gorgeous day down here in the south.
We're about 84 today, but it's a little warm for this time of year.
So. No worries.
Hey, Dan, we got a lot to cover, so let's get at it. Steve Spurrier suddenly resigned this week. What do you think? Did he quit on his team, or was it a case of seeing the handwriting on the wall, and did he do what was best for everyone involved?
Yeah, I think the writing was on the wall. This was a team that I thought was going to go 5-7 this year, and perhaps they could still sneak into a bowl game, but there's also a chance that, you know, it could be worse than that in terms of a 5-7 year. A pretty brutal, tough start. They were fortunate to win that opener against North Carolina, or else it would be a very disastrous season, but I think the timing is right. I think it's a good move for the program to try to look forward and build towards the future, and namely next year and the next couple, 2-3 years. So now it's just a matter of who's going to take over down the road, and can they become back to relevancy, which, of course, Steve Spurrier made them to that, which we never really thought could get to the level that he took them to in 2011, 12, 13, winning 11 games apiece. I never thought they'd have a chance to appear in an SEC championship game. They did that. Didn't think they could be top 5 or top 10 teams. They did that 3 straight seasons. So that was a remarkable run for one of the greater coaches of all time. And we'll just see who picks up the pieces from here on out. But certainly college football will not be the same with the head ball coach.
Okay, give us, you mentioned somebody, the replacement down the road. Who do you see as a possibility? I know we're a long way out and things change, but who would be Dan's pick to replace Spurrier?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of names that are kind of surfacing. Some people like a former Auburn assistant, current special teams coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Rich Bisaccia. Some people feel he can be that next guy, even though he's never been a big-time coordinator, let alone a head coach. But he's a name that kind of been going around the last couple of days, last couple hours. But there's lots of several young coaches, I think, that potentially could get a shot or a gig at a big-time program. I think Justin Fuente of Memphis, if he can win another 10-plus games, he's a guy to keep an eye out for several programs, but I think Seth Plana could be one of them. And then we'll see if Matt Rooley of Temple and Matt Campbell of Toledo, both those teams, shockingly, I wouldn't say shockingly, but Matt Campbell's the second youngest coach in the country, but Toledo, Temple, those teams are, you know, ranked right now in many polls and could have big-time years, and it's just a matter of time before those young coaches move on to bigger and better things and pay salary and opportunities one those. So I think those coaches stand up. Maybe Tom Herman of Houston, Sonny Dykes of Cal, perhaps Rich Rod of Arizona, I think would be some decent fits. But I think if you had to say who the leader is, I think many people are putting to Rich Bisaccia, currently of the Cowboys, who, remember, would have been staying with Auburn before he got that opportunity with Dallas just a few seasons ago. But it's really a crapshoot. We're going to see if they want to go, you know, a young route in terms of young coaches that are building off a big-time season with current programs right now in the FBS.
Right. And while we're talking about coaches, let's just go ahead and go to the West Coast for another USC, the University of Southern Cal. Steve Sarkisian was fired Monday after a long list of problems and a long list of bottles, I guess you would say. How did you think it got this far with this problem, what seemed to be now a very evident problem? So how did he get this far, and what names are you looking at to replace him?
Yeah, I mean, certainly, you know, sometimes personal issues are much more difficult to deal with when you're in empowerment, when you have that power and you're at the helm at a big-time job like USC still is. It was very disturbing to hear the full story, or so-called the full story, if you will. And a team that I thought had a chance to make the CFP this year, right after that Stanford loss at home when they got buried in the trenches, now, you know, they couldn't really bounce back with Washington. That's on the field, and then it couldn't have gone any more disastrous off the field with Steve Sarkisian. So really, sometimes it's just difficult to say when you're wrong and ask for help. And sometimes that's a big problem, not just with Steve Sarkisian, but with many people in America. So you wish nothing but the best for Coach Sharp, and hope that USC eventually finds a replacement. But more importantly, that Coach Sarkisian remains or gets happier and healthier, more importantly. It's the two most important things in my life, and most people should look for the same thing. So you wish nothing but the best for him. But it's going to be interesting to see what coach takes over and for the future. Obviously, Clay Helton, the temporary coach. But I think Chris Peterson and Kevin Sumlin would be for me the two hot names that I would love, if I was a Trojan fan, for USC to get after. Because I think if Chris Peterson can make Boise State a trademark program, I think certainly he could do bigger and better things with USC with the 4- and 5-star recruits. And he even mentioned how it's tougher to recruit at Washington than it was at Boise. He'll have no issues getting the big-time guys at USC. Kevin Sumlin, one of the better offensive minds in the country, would be very successful, in my opinion. Potentially could have a top-5 season with A&M if they can get a W this weekend. But I still think Justin Fuente of Memphis is a hot name that many people are targeting. He has another 10-11 win season. Went 10-3 last year with Memphis. Chances he could do even better this year. So those are the main guys. Many people had Chip Kelly. Obviously put that to rest in bed today, saying that he's fully committed to the Eagles. We'll see if their struggles continue in the NFL, but I think they'll turn around, have a big Monday Night Football game coming up. But I think he's, like he mentioned today, willing to stay with the Eagles to see how far that he gets his job let loose. I think Chris Peterson, Kevin Sumlin are kind of two big names. I think the Trojans, if they want big-time success and a well-known name and big-time offense performances, I think those are the guys to look for.
Great. Hey, Dan, let's move down to the state of Florida there, and if anybody keeps up with sports at all, they've heard about the situation with Florida's quarterback, Will Grier, who has been suspended for 1 year due to, you know, performance-enhancing drugs, and he tried to explain or did explain, you know, what happened in that case. Give us your thoughts on this. Does the punishment fit the crime? And then my second part is, how does this situation where they lose him affect Saturday's game with LSU?
Yeah, I think the punishment does fit the crime. Many people feel like potentially it should be or could be more. Obviously, you just get tested recently, get suspended for the year, but many people that lost to Florida feel a little bit disrespected, thinking that obviously Will Grier's impact, in fact, impacted those games, whether it's a Tennessee loss or Ole Miss loss, even Kentucky. But certainly I think, you know, a full year from now, we'll see if it lives and stays that way. But I think it was worth that crime. Many people originally lifted Will Grier around 160, but Florida has since retracted that or restated that he came in at 180 this offseason in the summer and boosted to just a bit over 200 pounds. But he was one of the better stories, Will Grier, going in to this weekend before the news broke on Monday. You could argue the Florida Gators and Jim McElwain, coach of the year right now, at pretty much the midway point of the season. Florida, I thought, was a 7-6, 8-5 type of team at best. And that was with an improved offense, but they've taken big-time steps and really have come through in crunch time, due in part to Will Grier. So this is a significant blow. I thought there's a good chance Florida could go to the SEC championship game with one or fewer losses, because that's how great they've been playing lately. But now this loss with Treon Harris, who's a decent replacement but has had struggles in the past against Florida State last year to complete big-time passes when he's under duress. So I think you're looking at a Florida team going from potentially 11-1 to more than likely a 9-3 team. And they still have a chance to win the East, but it's going to be that much more difficult without their best quarterback, arguably, since Tim Tebow. Maybe not saying too much, but he's only played a couple games, 5 games. He only started 4 of them. And just this couple weeks ago, threw 4 touchdowns in the first half against Ole Miss. That was the first quarterback since Chris Leak to do so. So he's been a stud. He's been arguably a top-3 quarterback in the SEC, and now they go to a backup that could be, at best, a middle-of-the-pack quarterback in the SEC. So it's going to cost them a game or two, and it likely starts this weekend with LSU.
Yeah, you know, and with losing Grier, I think they're going to have to rely even more, Dan, on their defense, and it is solid. I mean, it's one of the best defenses in the country, so I think they're going to have to carry the load for them the rest of the way.
Yeah, absolutely. The defense has proven to be among the top 5, in my opinion, so far at this point in the season, but now the offense is going to have to carry a little bit more of its weight than it already was. It's going to take, a decent-sized step back. Going to Treon Harris.
Exactly. Hey, you know, in just a matter of about an hour, you know, Auburn's going to be kicking off in Lexington against Kentucky. And I'll chuckle when I say this, but is this in some way the biggest game of Gus Malzahn's career? And who do you like in this one?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it, right now you could argue that case. I think if you lose this one, the next one becomes the biggest one, and then the next one. And it comes to a certain point where you're no longer bowl eligible, then that's pretty much all she wrote. So, yeah, this is a huge game. You lose this game, the laughing stock only continues, and based off the preseason expectations, and it's certainly been a disastrous season. But if they go with Jeremy Johnson tonight over Sean White, perhaps he comes through with a big victory on the road. But this is a Kentucky team that's, for me, a lock to make the postseason, playing a little bit better, obviously, than Auburn has, but a big-time moment for them as well. So this is a huge game for Gus Malzahn and Auburn to salvage a little bit, as we've seen in years past, where they come in the season with some high hope. But this was really the highest hopes we've had in terms of the preseason juice, if you will, where many people were placing bets on Jeremy Johnson winning the Heisman, Auburn winning the SEC, getting to the CFP, and potentially winning the national championship. So really just salvage as much as you can. But I'm going to lean a little bit with Kentucky playing at home, but I think a lot can rely upon if Jeremy Johnson does get named the starter and plays the whole game and avoids the turnover bug.
I hate to interrupt you, but we just got this. Sean White will be starting tonight. Gus Malzahn has just announced that. So,
okay, well, thank you. Yes, I think it's going to be very intriguing now to see if Sean White remains the starter for this whole game if he does struggle, because obviously they wait until now or today to announce Sean White the starter. So if Jeremy Johnson comes in and replaces Sean White, who does struggle, and it's a low-scoring game, I think you're going to have to see Jeremy Johnson come off the bench and try to come out victorious for this team, because the Auburn offense certainly one of the two or three biggest disappointments, at least in the entire SEC for me. But I'm leaning with Kentucky a little bit even more now, with Sean White still being known and labeled as the starter for tonight.
Yeah, Dan, don't you know that the Auburn fans will be thrilled during the game that goes bad for Sean White?
Oh,
here comes Jeremy Johnson trotting out on the field again.
Yeah, yep.
Hey, Dan, there's another, you know, maybe the biggest game in the SEC this week is over on the, you know, is on the west side as well, and that is Alabama traveling to, or already traveled to, College Station with Texas A&M. So how do you see this game, you know, playing out?
Yeah, I think it's very the matchup of the weekend, arguably, and one of the better matchups of the season so far is Kyle Allen and arguably the best receivers in the country, in my opinion. Christian Kirk, as a true freshman, was kind of an afterthought going into the year because they were so loaded. The Aggies were at wide receiver. When you look at Ricky Seals-Jones, certainly Josh Reynolds as a stud, Speedy Noel. They have so many different options, but Christian Kirk has been arguably the best wide receiver in college football this year. I would argue he's the best player in open space right now. So that's a key for the Alabama secondary, which has had some issues, mainly in that Ole Miss game. Ole Miss, more of the bigger, taller, faster receivers, a little bit of blend of both, but A&M can do a lot of yak, yard after the catch. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Alabama can hold up against the Aggies. They've really still been trying to find their way in running the ball. They haven't really relied upon that in the last couple seasons, and that's why they went 8-5 last year. But luckily, the offense has taken a slight notch up on that belt. So I think there's going to be a little bit of a shootout in College Station. Alabama's offense is really starting to bend rolling. I think you look at Ridley, true freshman, all of a sudden many people are comparing him a little bit in terms of the production to Julio Jones. So you're going to see lots of points in this one. I like Derrick Henry and that Alabama balanced a little bit more obviously than A&M. Despite being on the road, this is the biggest game maybe, not in just the Kevin Sumlin era, but for the Aggies and maybe a plus decade or even more. I'd argue bigger than the Johnny Manziel era in terms of how big this game is. If A&M wins this game, they'll crack that top five, and they'll be the favorite potentially to win the SEC over a team like LSU. So I'd really like an Alabama, though, to come through like a 34-30 type of shootout. I think Derrick Henry does just enough on the ground and busts a few long ones in the fourth quarter. But there's going to be lots of points, and A&M's going to look darn good offensively. And they got the best pass-rushing duos in the country in Myles Garrett and Deshaun Hall. But I think that secondary is going to give a few big plays in favor of Alabama.
I got you. Hey, you know, Dan, I had a buddy of mine just a minute ago text me a stat, and I'm just going to read it to you. It said, he says, Bama has to run the ball successfully. Alabama has gained 0 yards or lost yards on 28% of their first down runs, lowest of Saban's tenure at Bama.
Yeah, that is pretty remarkable. I think we'll see. They did play against Ole Miss, tough competition, but they've had some of their issues. But fortunate for them is Jake Coker, at least for me, about you guys, has already exceeded majority of his expectations. And even with the loss of some young receivers, they've had some other guys step up. And I think if you look at Ridley, you could argue two of the three best receivers in the country, at least in the SEC, are in this game in terms of Christian Kirk and Calvin Ridley.
Exactly. Hey, let's move north of the highway, north on the highway. I'm tongue tied. North of you up the highway to Michigan and Michigan State. My question is Michigan for real? Are they this good? And how do you see the Michigan-Michigan State game turning out?
Yeah, I do think they're pretty for real. We're going to find out more about this game being labeled as the favorite. I didn't think that was even possible, really. But they're over now, a touchdown favorite. I thought this was more of potentially a pick-em, not this past week, but going into the season. I thought Michigan was a solid 9-3. 10-3 type of team this year, but now they have a chance to play for so much more. For me, they're easily right now at this point the best team in the Big Ten, but now they're going to put up for shut-up time against Mark D'Antonio, as Mike Hart used to call the former Mason Blue running back, the little brothers versus the big brothers. And Michigan State's taking Michigan to the woodshed as of late, but now Michigan with such a great bounce back, only allowed 14 points since that loss to Utah. They've been one of the more productive defenses in the country, very stout up front. And we know Michigan State, one of the better teams in the country the last few years, mainly because of domination in the line of scrimmage. So I think Connor Cook's been arguably the best productive quarterback in terms of winning the last 2-3 years, beating Stanford in the Rose Bowl 2 years ago, Baylor in a great comeback in the Cotton Bowl last year. But I'm going to lean with Michigan in a typical classic, but at home in Ann Arbor, I'm going to go with 24-20 Maize and Blue victory. I think Jim Harbaugh and his coaching staff has been legit. Since their loss to Utah, I haven't seen a team really improve better than the Michigan Wolverines. So I think they're going to eke out a victory, but don't be shocked if Michigan State finds a way, because everybody, for the most part, is already turning them out, and they haven't even lost a game yet. So this is going to be quite the classic. But I'm going to lean with Michigan at home. Michigan State still trying to kind of get over that hump in terms of this season. They've really been struggling to put teams away, and it's quite the big bully at Michigan at home.
Yeah. Hey, thanks, Dan. Hey, I'm going off the cuff here a little bit. Are you hearing anything up that way about D'Antonio from Michigan State possibly being interested in the South Carolina job? Chris Andrews was on with us earlier, and he mentioned that. I did not know that D'Antonio graduated from South Carolina.
Yeah.
Are you hearing anything about that?
Just some whispers. Yeah, there have been some rumors, but it sounded more like he's going to say, no thank you. I think he's more so, you look at it right now, Michigan State for me is the fourth or fifth best program the last couple of seasons, outside of Bama, Florida State, and Ohio State. And maybe Oregon up to this point, nobody's won more than Michigan State, and they've won at the biggest stages. The only thing they're missing is a national championship, and I think he feels like he could do that at Michigan State still. And they have many opportunities, including this weekend, so I think he's going to stay put, barring something disastrous or major breaking, changing news. I think he's going to stay at Michigan State and South Carolina. We'll have to look elsewhere.
Gotcha. Thanks. Appreciate that, Dan. Hey, last question here, and then we're going to do buy, sell, and hold. Mm-hmm. If you could only watch one game on Saturday, which game would you choose and why?
Wow, tough one. I don't like LSU Florida as much, so give me Texas A&M hosting Alabama. I've really been drinking the Aggie Kool-Aid the last couple of weeks with Ole Miss with a loss, and, of course, my Georgia Bulldogs, as you've called them for me, struggling as well. I think A&M's a team that's really taking great strides. I thought they were going to be 8 or 9 win team, but they've already exceeded those expectations. The offense is only improving, and I don't think people respect this defense. Myles Garrett might be the number one pick in the draft in 2 years, and if Deshaun Hall comes back, Texas A&M could legitimately be a top five, legitimately be a top five team this year. But you're looking at a dark horse next year. They could be, don't laugh, but they could be your preseason number one team next year, especially if they get a big win this weekend, which
wow.
I don't think they're going to get. But A&M's loaded with freaks on both
wow.
sides of the ball. But we know about their offense. Now we're going to see if their defense can rise to the occasion. So this game's loaded with NFL talent, a lot of it in the future. And we know Alabama and Nick Saban have a few 4 and 5 stars on both sides of the ball. So, so their future looks bright as always.
Great. Thanks, Dan.
All right, Dan, time for buy, sell, and hold. If I don't get choked, Coca-Cola didn't go down, went down the old windpipe, as we say here in Alabama. But we're going to do a little buy, sell, and hold. So by now, I think everybody should have caught on to the game, and Auburn plays in a little bit, so we're going to get right to it. Starting with you, Dan, Lane Kiffin will be back in a head coaching position somewhere next season.
I'm going to get my hold right out of the way. I'm not really buying that he's going to get a chance immediately, but I'm not 100% confident with that. So I'm going to hold. I think he's got a decent future in terms of being a head coach, but I'm not positive it's going to be next year. So I'm going to use my hold right off the bat, and I'll be done with that.
All right.
I'm going to sell it. I think he'll be back at Alabama one more year, and then I think he'll have some other opportunities.
All right. Ronnie, you'll start this one. Steve Spurrier will be coaching somewhere next season.
Oh, I sell that. No way.
Sell it? No way.
Zero. He's done.
Zero chance.
Zero chance.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an easy sell. I think this is it for him. He's had a great career. Tough to see the head ball coach go, but I'm going to sell.
All right. Both of y'all remember he did say, I'm resigning, not retired.
Yeah.
Yep.
Somebody,
right.
Some high school, I think, has already offered him a coaching position.
Boy, wouldn't that be nice? All right, Dan, back to you, and you're going to like this one. We will see both Jeremy Johnson and Sean White play in tonight's game versus Kentucky.
I think that's a solid buy. I think we're going to see Jeremy Johnson at some point, whether it's late in the game or potentially close to halftime. I think Sean White's going to struggle. And Auburn's going to give up some points on defense, in my opinion. So they're going to have to come from behind, potentially, if Sean White turns the ball over at all. So I'm buying that. You're going to hope and pray that Jeremy Johnson comes off that bench and performs well, because I think they're going to need him tonight.
Okay, Ronnie?
I buy it as well. It's two mediocre quarterbacks. So
come on, Ronnie.
Well, it is, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, mediocre might be stretching.
I was giving you the benefit there, so I think both will play tonight.
Okay.
Buying it.
All right, Ronnie. As bad as I hate to, I'm going to let you start this one.
Okay.
Up. Alabama's game versus Texas A&M Saturday is make or break. If they lose, all their goals for this year are history.
Well, I'm going to buy it, but I'm going to preface it with, if they lose, they can't get – I don't believe they can get to the SEC championship, and then that would lead them on into the into the playoffs. So I'm going to buy it from that standpoint.
Okay, Dan?
Yeah, I think you have to buy this one. You lose this game, you could pretty much kiss goodbye the CFP and more than likely the SEC championship appearance in Atlanta. It's going to be tough to see LSU lose at least two times if Alabama were to lose this weekend in College Station. So I think that's an easy buy.
Okay. Dan, Southern Cal is a top three coaching job.
Wow. I'm going to sell that. I still think you could argue Notre Dame, Michigan, Alabama, I think are at least three right there. Ohio State, I didn't mention. A few other SEC programs aren't too shabby either. I think it's still a legit top 10 coaching gig job, but top three is a little too high, in my opinion. So I'm going to sell that one.
All right.
I agree with Dan. I sell it as well. You know, maybe back when Pete Carroll was there, they were winning national championships. Certainly, you would probably say they're top three. But now, as Dan put it, probably a top 10, somewhere in that area.
Okay. Ronnie, get your calculator out. The new Southern Cal coach will be paid at least two times more than the new South Carolina coach.
Oh, my goodness. At least double his salary.
At least double his salary.
I'm going to sell that. I just don't see that happening.
All right.
So I sell.
Dan?
Yeah, I think I'm going to agree as well. I think I'm going to sell. It's difficult to certainly you give your best guess, because obviously, depending who the coaches are, that could change quite a bit if it's a new coach that doesn't have as much experience, or per se it's an up-and-coming coach. Potentially, he doesn't get as much as he'd prefer if they get a Kevin Sumlin, Chris Peterson. I think could change things if you're comparing. So I'm going to sell that. It's just tough to put a good ballpark. But I think the easy answer is sell at the moment, because it's tough to do double, at least you said. So it should be a little bit more, maybe a million or so, but to say twice would be, I think, a little bit difficult.
Okay. All right, Dan, we'll let you start this one, the last one. Actually, I'm going to add one today, so there'll be one more after this one. Within the next 3 years, we will see a college head coach making a salary of $10 million per year or more.
Wow. Next 3 years. I'm going to sell that. I think the brighter future, maybe in 5 to 10 years, I think I perhaps buy that. But just for 3 years, you're looking at, what, Nick Saban, the highest paid coach, who's only at, what, $7 million or so?
Yeah.
At least per the USA Today, I think that's your top paid coach. So I think it'll be maybe a little bit closer, maybe with somebody else's, a couple other coaches, potentially getting closer to Saban. But for the next 3 years, I'll sell that. Maybe in the distant future, I'll buy that. But for now, I'll sell that.
Ronnie?
I agree with Dan. I don't think within the next 3 years that's going to happen. And when you're talking $10 million, you're talking about NFL coaches, the kind of money, you know, some of those guys are making. So I just do not see it happening within the next, you know, 3 years.
Okay. An interesting stat, and Ronnie, you'll start this one off. I heard today Leonard Fournette makes up 45.4% of every yard LSU has gained to this point.
45% of their yards goes through him some way.
Goes through Fournette some way. In Saturday's game versus Florida, Fournette will not make up over 30% of their yards.
I'm going to sell that.
You're going to sell it.
I think he will continue on what he's done so far. As much as I like Florida defensively, I just think they're going to go to him so much still. He just has to. So I'm taking that.
I'm going to sell it,
yeah.
All right, Dan?
Yeah, I'm going to sell that, too. I think they're going to unleash him in this game. I'm looking for 30 to 35 carries for 200-plus yards against a top-five defense in the country. And he may catch a pass or two, but I think we've seen Les Miles. He always has a few tricks up his sleeve, but once he gets a lead, he stays pretty vanilla, pretty conservative, and he's got a right to that. He's had great running backs in the past. But arguably, in my opinion, no argument here, but none better than Leonard Fournette, who, for the most part, if LSU can, you know, stay the course and go at least 10-1 or at least 9-2, I think Leonard Fournette, if he stays healthy, he's a lock for the highest end. Right now, I think he's probably close to 50% of the LSU offense, like the numbers for the season show. So I'm going to sell that as well. I think it's going to be a great atmosphere, but I think Leonard Fournette's going to lead the way. And I think if LSU gets close to 400 yards, perhaps, he'll get 200 of them if they get that.
Okay. All right, Dan. We're going to be cutting it a little early tonight to get home to watch the Auburn game, and we're going to let you do the same. So we appreciate you joining us as you do each week. Look forward to a great weekend of football, and, man, I hope you have a great one.
You too, guys. Appreciate it as always, and enjoy the games, and have a great weekend.
All right.
Thanks, Dan.
Have a great one, guys.
You got it.
All right, that's Dan the Man.
Dan the Man Vice.
So, Ronnie, what we're going to do here is go right into our picks.
Okay.
And after this, we'll be
winding up, going home, getting some wings or something.
And I think the phone is buzzing.
It is. All right, we're going to do the high school games. Jason, Coleman at Decatur.
Coleman wins this one 23-16.
23-16. I'm taking Coleman 21-3. Vinemont at Susan Moore.
Oh, Susan Moore wins this one 13-12.
13-12, Susan Moore. I'm going to take Vinemont, but I'm going to keep the score kind of close like you did, Jason. I tell you what, I'm going to keep the same score, 13-12 Vinemont, okay?
All right.
We got Hansville at Holly Pond.
Until Holly Pond wins one, I can't pick them.
I understand.
Hansville wins this one 30-13.
All right. I'm going to take Hansville as well. I'm going 38-21. Cold Springs takes on Summerton Christian.
Cold Springs wins this one. Big runny, 38-6.
38-6. I'm also taking Cold Springs 21-14. Fairview versus Douglas.
I don't know anything about Douglas, but I'm going to take Douglas.
Okay.
Douglas
that makes sense.
21-20.
All right. Just to be contrary, I'm going with Fairview to get on the board tonight with a W, 28-26. Good Hope at DAR.
I don't know anything about DAR, so I'm going to take DAR.
Okay.
DAR wins it 26-16.
I'm going to take Good Hope, and they're going to win the game 24-12. Last one, high school, West Point and East Limestone.
Don't know anything about East Limestone.
So I'm taking East Limestone.
East Limestone wins this one 31-23.
Okay. And I'm going to go with you. I'm going to take East Limestone 22-12. All right. College games, you want to do those quickly?
Yeah, let's do them quick.
All right, tonight we got Auburn at Kentucky. Who you got?
Auburn wins this one 27-23.
All right, I'll take Auburn as well. This is a Saturday games, Louisiana Tech at Mississippi State.
Mississippi State.
Okay.
I don't know the scores.
I got you. I got Mississippi State as well. Then we have Ole Miss at Memphis.
Ole Miss and a squeaker.
That is probably what will happen. I'll take Ole Miss as well. Alabama at number 9, Texas A&M.
Boy, this, I struggle with this one all week and haven't done anything for entertainment purposes only. But going to take Alabama by 3.
All right. I'm going to take Alabama as well. When we started the season, I had them losing one game, and that was Georgia, and I'm not going to change now. Vandy at South Carolina.
South Carolina wins this one double digits.
I hear you. I'm picking South Carolina as well. Another good game Saturday. Florida at LSU.
Here is my upset of the week. The Gators take down Florida.
Oh, my goodness.
And the LSU Tigers. LSU is overrated, if anybody.
Even after they lost their quarterback for the year.
I don't care if they lose their quarterback, their running back, and their coach.
You know, they're still going to win.
And their water boy.
Oh, man. Well, I'm taking LSU. I just think Fournette is just too strong, and LSU is good defensively. All right, last one. Missouri at Georgia.
Georgia, a 16-point favorite.
All right, you're going to get specific here with 16 points.
But Georgia's not going to cover. They win the game, but don't cover.
I got you. All right, well, I'm going to take Georgia as well. So maybe the Bulldogs can get off of that 0-2 skid. Bull puppies, that's right. Maybe they can get off the 0-2 skid and get back in on victory lane.
All right, 5:35, and that can't mean but one thing. It's time to call it quits.
That's
and
right.
Go to the house,
get a little supper.
Supper and a ball game going. Night full of ball games.
Exactly. All night. You can stay up late.
That's it. You can stay up until Friday.
That's exactly right.
Oh, man, listen to
what
this.
What about that?
This is the man with the plan. Have you ever heard the story about this song? Tell me, have you ever heard it?
Yeah, supposedly didn't someone witness something, and that's kind of what they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know that story.
A drowning, the man threw his wife off a boat, drowned her, and then this is the story.
I've never heard
that song sometime, and I'll tell you more about it.
Okay.
But it's a little freaky.
Oh.
All right, folks, it's time to call it quits until Tuesday when we'll talk about what happened tonight.
It's a big
war eagle.
What about that? I'll just give you one big roll tide, baby.
All right. Thanks for joining us, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll be back with you Tuesday. Hope your team wins. Until then, you've been listening to Sports Talk Live 95.5. Cool.
Big thanks to Tommy for running this thing, too.
Thanks, Tommy.